Today's shir is Masech Techulin Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Lamed Amid Beis at the bottom of the Amid by the Gemara. Yesterday, in the previous year, we learned that if a shechita was done with somebody just chopping off the head, then the halacha is that's not a valid shechita. That's in the category of a drusa. And I asked the Gemara, Manani Mili, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, Am Shmuel, Am Akra. The pasuk says, Chetz Shchachut L'Shoinim Mirber Diber. That just like an arrow is shot in a line, so too the shechita has to be done in a back and forth motion, not just pressing it down. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel continues to teach us how we know that drusa is possible, because the pasuk says v'shachat, v'ein v'shachat el umashach. The word v'shachat means to move back and forth. Although I did see a vart from the Lubavitch Rebbe, the Likutei Sichus, he says that when you think about shechita, the word umashach is the most appropriate word. He says what mashach represents is that something is pulled out from where it is to somewhere else. He says that's actually what happens when we do a shechita. What happens when we do a shechita is this animal is a regular animal, but now it's going to be slaughtered and it's going to be eaten by a person. And people are obviously on a higher madrega than animals. So we take this animal, which was still now just an animal, and we bring it up to a higher madrega. The Sefer Teres Yaakov asks that throughout our Masechta, when we've been discussing Hilchas Shechita, and we've been discussing the basic halachas of Hilchas Shechita, which of course Shia and Hadras are very much part of those halacha, part of those halachas, the Gemara never asked them non-emili. Why? And the Gemara often said, because it's a halacha l'mashem Sinai. So why over here, by this halacha l'mashem Sinai, the halacha l'mashem Sinai of Drusa, does the Gemara look for a source that we're going to see two psukim? So he explains that the Gemara's question is not to question that how do we know that Drusa is a disqualification. The question of the Gemara is that the Mishnah said that if you did halacha without haivah, we're also concerned that it might be a drusa. And the question is that why, even in that situation, are we concerned that that too will be a drusa? You have a knife and you're going in the halacha motion. And that's why the pasuk has to teach us that shechita means umashach, and if you don't have a mashach, you may not have a valid shechita. The Kain Oimer, and so says the Gemara, the pasuk says in Malachim, V'yasa melech shlemim masayim tzina zov shochet. Zov mashach, that means it's soft gold that you can easily pull. Oimer, and there's another pasuk, chetz shochet l'shoinim mirba daber. Asked the Gemara, Maiva Oimer, why was there a necessity for another pasuk? V'chitem zov shachud. We just have the word zov shachud. We mean, all we can learn from is nitfakishchutu, that we could use, that the gold could be made like into thread. But we don't understand what we're trying to learn in our shir, tashma, by saying chet shachud l'shoinam. It's like an arrow, that very much would prove the point of how shechita has to be done. Says the Gemara, Rava have a badek legira. Rava would check an arrow if there was any pegima in the arrow. L'Rabbi Yoina batachlifa v'shachet ba'ofa, and he would shecht a bird b'hadad the parach while it's flying. But ask the Gemara, v'dilma avat chalada, maybe the arrow went into the bird into the neck. And as we've been discussing, that's the psul of the disqualification of chalada. Answers the Gemara Chazinin, Gita de Mefarmi. We don't allow to eat the bird unless we see that the feathers around the neck were cut through the arrow. And from looking at that way, we could tell what if there were where the arrow entered the neck of the bird. Now ask the Gemara, there's another consideration. We know, as we've mentioned in previous shiurim, that the halacha is you have to do kisi hadam when you shecht a bird or chaya. So if the bird is being slaughtered as it's flying in the air, how will you be able to do kisi hadam? So says the Gemara v'chitayim, so you'll suggest the machsele that will cover up the blood after it lands on the floor. But ask the Gemara, v'amrav zera amarav, ha-shaychit, if somebody's shechting a bird, tzarech shi'itan ofalamatam, you have to put earth under the blood, v'afalamala. So, yes, you'll be able to put blood on top, you'll be able to put earth on top of the blood after it lands on the floor, but what about the earth that you need to put below the blood? Shinema, and how do we know that so is the halacha? It says the Gemara, because the pasuk that teaches us the halacha of kisui adam says v'chisu ba'offer, offer loy nema. It doesn't say just the word offer. It says be'offer. That means it should be on top of ground. The Taisus Chachmi Anglia says the way to understand this limud is the Torah says be'offer means be'z offer, two offers. You have to have offer on top, so too, and you have to have offer on bottom. Melamed, so therefore we learn from here, Sheshech, Tzarech, Shitin, Offer, Melamala, Matav, Offer, Melamala. You have to have earth on the bottom and on top. And when the bird is flying, how will you accomplish this? Answers, the Gemara, what happened here was, the Mazmele, Lo'offer, the Kule Pascha. What happened was, he spread earth on top of the entire area where he was going to put the shoot an arrow into the bird. So there was earth already prepared from bottom, and now there'll be earth put on top. The pshat that offer is because it has to be soft earth. In other words, the Rishonim point out, if the bird was killed over the ground, so there should be no concern. The answer is, they say that earth has to be soft ground, soft earth. But the earth that's hard would not be valid. The Rashba makes an interesting point based on this Gemara. He says, from here in our Gemara, we learn that one is not supposed to do shechita on a bird if he doesn't have earth prepared from beforehand. And that's why our Gemara was most concerned, how do you have the earth? And the Sfasemis asks a question. He says that the Magen Avraham quotes the Mordechai that you're allowed to sit in a basic Knesset on Shabbos without wearing tzitzis, because your chiv of wearing tzitzis is only when you have a beged of Dalek Knafis. And if you don't have, and if since on Shabbos you can't put on the tzitzis on your beged, so you're Einus, and Einus Rachmani Patri. So here too, why don't we say that you did the Shechita, and the fact that there was no earth there is only that Chiv of Kisui Adam only comes after the Shechita. And if you don't have earth, then you're Einus, and you're Einus Rachmani Patri. So the Sfasemis answers that the entire concern that the Gemara is teaching us here about earth not being available, indeed, says the Sfasemis, is only concerned with Rabbonim. But he says that, so yet why is tzitzis different than Kisui Adam? So the Sfasemis explains that when the Halacha teaches us that on Shabbos we're allowed to wear a beged that doesn't have a beged of Dalek Knafis without tzitzis and have the heter of Onis Rachmana Patre, because now I can't put the tzitzis on, it's not under all circumstances. It's only you're sitting in shul, and everybody's wearing a talus, and the only talus that's available to you is a talus that doesn't have tzitzis on it. So now there's an issue of Kavod HaBrius, that you shouldn't look different than everybody else in the shul who's wearing a talus, and you're now wearing a talus. But we can't apply that type of a concept when we speak about kisui adam. So you won't eat the bird. There's no kavod habris. So the Gemara said, we're speaking about a case, the mazman lel offer the kule pascha, he put, so the simple pshat is that in Rashi, is that you put earth out on that entire area. The second pshat that Rashi says is that there's already earth there, and what on that area where this bird was being shot at with the arrow. But what he did was, this person says, I am designating that the earth that's here should be the earth that should be used for kisui adam, which means that according to Rashi, that the Gemara is teaching us, not only must there be earth on the ground, but that earth that's on the ground has to be designated for that purpose. And if not, it's not, you were not mekayim the mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch actually brings two opinions. If that's the halacha, is it enough if you have earth on the ground, or do you have to specifically designate it? And the Levush and the Prish explain, why would we need to have special designation? So they said, going again back to the Pasuk that we've been discussing in our shir, the Torah says, v'chisol ba'ofer. So they learned that the word v'chisol ba'ofer means to tell us that it has to be earth that's designated for that purpose. However, the Shach points out that this entire discussion, that if you have earth from before, do you have to designate it, or if it'll be fine without any special designation, says the Shach, is only for mitzvah and a mufcha. If you want to do the mitzvah in the most preferable fashion. But certainly, says the Shach, if there's earth prepared there, and even if it wasn't specifically designated for that purpose, the halacha will be that it's fine to do kisui adam. So the Mishnah taught us, ha'yishaych v'hittis, if somebody was shechting the animal and he took off the head in one time, so the Mishnah discussed, it depends on the length of the knife. Amar, and it said, the Mishnah said the words, im yesh b'sakin malei tzaver. And now the Gemara wants to discuss, what does malei tzaver mean? Amar Reb Zera, malei tzaver, le tzaver. You have to have, for every neck, the shear of malei tzaver. But now, ask the Gemara, boilahu, malei tzaver mchutz le tzaver, k'malei tzaver, does that mean that you have to have the length, the exact same length of the knife, the exact same length, width of the neck, has to also have that mount outside of the knife? That would mean you would have to have a knife that is long, which is havale treitz avari, is the width of two necks. Idil memoli tzaver, you have to have the width of the neck. Umichutz lo tzaver, and besides that, outside of the neck, you have to have a mashuhu. So that means it'll be a very big nafkamina in the length of the neck. Do you have to have twice the neck, twice the width of the neck, or just the width of the neck and a little more? The halacha will be, as the Mishnah says, that if you won't have this length, that the halacha will be that the shechita, if it was done in this fashion, then it won't be a valid shechita. Says the Gemara, Toshima. So Gemara wants to bring a raya from the following brisa. The brisa says, the Mishnah said, if somebody did shechita and he took off two heads in one time, im yesh b'sakin malei tzaver achad, if it has the width of one sakin, kosher. So now the question is, my malei tzaver echad. And the question is, what did the Mishnah mean with those words? If you're going to say that all you need is just the width of one neck, hashtav behema achas binan malei tzaver chutzla tzaver, ask the Gemara, that's very difficult to understand. Because if the Mishnah is teaching us that when you shecht it only one animal, you need to have whatever malei tzaver and chutzla tzaver means, and now you're going to say, would could it make any sense? B'shtei behemah sagalu k'mol etzaver achad. If you did it by one animal, you're going to need this width. So when you're doing two animals, you should certainly need more, not less. Elipshit k'mol etzaver mechutz l'shnei tzavarim. What it means is that you have to have the width of every animal. And on top of it, you also have to have the mole tzaver. Shema mino. So what we see from here is that you have to have mole tzaver l'tzaver, double the width of the neck, and that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us that shema mino. The Rama in Yerideyah Simen Chesef Aleph teaches us that l'chatchila one should shecht with a knife which is 14 etzbos long. Because the pasuk says in Shmuel, we discussed this pasuk, and the pasuk says v'shechatetem bezeh, and the gematria bezeh is 14. And the Gra, in fact, quotes a medrash that says that Rabbanan Amrin sakin bas yudala herolahen, he showed him a knife which is 14 etzbos long. K'may tzarech liyos erkei, that is the length that it has to. That's the length that it has to be. Says the Gemara, b'madvar murim, when is this said, that we're having this discussion about the length of the neck and what you're doing? It's only in a case, what is the, that the shechita maybe could be good? Said the Mishnah, if you did halacha without hava, but if you did halacha vayva, so the Mishnah said you could use even an ismol. The way we defined an ismol, we said it's a scalpel. Aram Menashe, so Aram Menashe said, "Beismol she'en lo kanayim." When we speak about an ismol being usable, it's only an ismol that doesn't have like protrusions on the corners of the scalpel, because if the ismol has protrusion on the sides of the if the mismo has these kanaim, has these protrusion, we're concerned that they may go in to the neck of the animal or to other places where we have been speaking in our shir about making it a chaloda. And therefore, because you have these extra pieces, we have to be concerned. Other Rishonim say that what we need to be concerned is that since these are pointy, because they're pointy, they may pierce the simonim, these karnayim are pointing, and they may pierce the simonim. And of course, we've been learning over and over that a shechita is only valid in a case where it won't pierce the simonim. Amar Amnasha, b'rizma she'en lai karnayim. Amleir v'achabreider avileir Amnasha, Machta mai. What's the halacha if you use the point of a needle? Amle machta of needle certainly any royal shchita cannot be used for shchita because the needle mivs the buzzer. It has this point, and because it has this point, you don't have a halacha by vav. Again, you're just going to be piercing the simon. Ask the gemara machta de shkufi that you have a needle that's used by people that work with leather. And that type of leather has sharp sides. My, can we use that type of a needle? Because it doesn't just have the pointy front. Amalei, to which Rav Nasha responded to Nina, that the Mishnah said that a field kosher, if the way you're doing the shechita is in a loch and a fashion, then it's acceptable. My love, didn't the Mishnah come to teach us machta shkufi, that type of a scalpel is kosher? Says the Gemara, or that type of needle is kosher. Says the Gemara, loy. What the Mishnah's come to teach us is that if you use an izemel, as we've been discussing, a scalpel, that's when it's kosher. Ask the Gemara, but the Mishnah already said, izmo behekik tani lo. The Mishnah was very explicit that you could use izemel. That's not what the Mishnah coming to teach us. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is a fil kosher, a fil ismol, is not to be understood as two phrases, but rather the way it's to be understood, k'perusha k'mefarish. We're explaining my kosher. When the Mishnah says you could shecht the kosher, it meant it could be shechted with a yizemel. Hachnam mustabra, and says the Gemara, that's what makes sense, is the way to understand the Mishnah. This akdatach machter the shkufe, if we're going to say that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that you can use a machter the shkufe, says the Gemara, achter, then the Mishnah would be difficult to understand what the Mishnah coming to teach us. Hash the mashke the shkufe, which has this point that that is a reason to be concerned, that invalidates the shkita. We're learning Isharia. So Ismo, is there any question about the Ismo? So it must be that mashke the shkufe is not necessarily mutter. The only thing that's mutter would be an Ismo. But says the Mar, no. Even if we'll say that a mashke the shkufe is mutter, we still need a special reason to say that an Ismo is acceptable. Ismo, it's trichalei. Sagdat min elizvel ligzer, Ismo she'en lo kenayim, or to Ismo she'esh lo kenayim. As we've been learning a few moments ago, that an Ismo that has these protrusions from the corner of the Ismo is most concerning. The reason, as we learned, that it's so concerning is that we have to be concerned with the different issues that we mentioned, that it may create a situation of chaloda, or may create a situation of, it may create a situation of piercing. And therefore, the Gemara said we have to be most careful not to use that type of ismal. So we would think, says the Gemara, that because Chazal was so very concerned, they would even disallow an ismal she'en lo kanayim, because you may come to use an ismal she'esh lo kanayim. That's why the Mishnah had to go out of its way to tell us, no, an ismal may be used if it doesn't have kanayim, and we don't make these type of gzeiros. Says the Mishnah, nafla sakin, if the knife fell down from itself, so there was no human intervention, and it shechted the animal, the loch is api sheshechta kedarkoi, even though upon examination the shechita was a good shechita, afa pi sheshechta kedarkoi, even though upon examination we had a good shechita, it's still psula. Shnema, because the pasuk says v'zavachta mibekarcho mitzoncha ashenoshnu Hashem lecha kash tzivisicha v'chalta, to teach us masha tzveich atoichel. So the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that there was no human intervention, the knife just fell down, and the halacha is that shechita is a disqualified shechita. The Miri takes it a step further. He says that if somebody was sitting and he had a knife in his hand, and the knife fell, and the knife that fell onto the neck of an animal, still says the Miri, that is included and what would be considered a disqualified shechita. The Rashba is not that agreeable, because the Rashba says that as long as there was some human intervention, he says that the case of our Mishnah is speaking about a case where the knife fell down, the wind blew the knife, and the wind blew the knife, and it happened to hit the neck of the animal. And as it hit the neck of the animal, it shechted the animal properly. But the Rashba seems to say that if there was any human intervention in this episode, then the Rashba says that might not necessarily be what the Mishnah disagrees. And therefore, the halacha is that if somebody, as we learned earlier, somebody threw a knife and the knife did halacha, then the halacha is that the shechita is a valid shechita. Of course, we're going to have to examine the bird or the animal, if there was no chaloda. But if the knife exited somebody's hand and it shechted the animal, it will be a kashra shechita. So what do we learn? Begins the Gemara, Tama l'nafla. It's only because the knife fell by itself. Hay pilahu, if a person would have been the one to drop the knife, Shera would be a valid shechita. Afgav d'lo mechaved, even though he didn't have any kavana that he should accomplish any shechita. Says the Gemara, man Tana. So who is the Tana that obviously holds the loy being a kavana l'shechita? That kavana doesn't, that there's no requirement to have kavana when you do shechita. Amar Rava, says Rava Reb Nosson he. It represents the opinion of Reb Nosson. The Tani Ishi Zeira. We've said before different explanations what is meant when we say Ishi Zeira de Min Chavaya. One pshat is his name was Oishi Zeira, and he was one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva. Another pshat is his name was Oishia, and he was Zeira de Min Chavraya. He was the youngest of the Talmidim. Another pshat is his name was Oishia Zeira, and he came from the city called Chavraya. That he taught us Zorg Sak and Lenotz Bekaisel, as somebody is throwing a knife at the wall. V'holcha, as the knife is traveling, V'holcha Sheach the Kedarka, it does a proper shechita on that. It does a proper shechita on that animal, that bird. The halach is Reb Nosson Machsher. Reb Nosson considers it a valid, Reb Nosson Machsher, Reb Nosson considered a valid shechita, and Chum Paislim, the Chum hold that it's not considered a valid shechita. So says the Gemara, who Tanala for who Amala? So Rabbi Zeira was the one that brought this lesson to the yeshiva, and says the Gemara, he also taught us that the Aloch Reb Nosson, that actually the Aloch follows the opinion of Reb Nosson, that it's a valid shechita. Reb Chaim Brisker has a discussion that when we learn Hilchis Nezikin, when we begin learning Masechta Baba Kama, and the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the Masechta, identifies the Abba Ovis Nezikin, and the Mishnah says Ishai, that if somebody started a fire and then that fire spreads, that's considered as if you were a mazik. So if we see that if you started a fire and that's considered a mazik, that you are the mazik, so why should, if you cause that the knife should drop on the animal, be any different? And Chaim Brisker explains there are two different situations. By when we speak about a mazik, the consideration is, were you the one that caused that damage? And if you started a fire, then the halacha says that you're the one that's considered you started damage. But it's not considered as if you actually did something. In other words, he says that there's two different halachas. There's one halacha that is considered that I will be responsible, that I'm a mazik. And for that, it's enough that, yes, that I should be considered that I'm responsible. But even if I'm responsible, doesn't mean that I actually did it. What shechita requires that I should do it. And if it's not considered that I did this act, then I would not be held under those circumstances responsible. Because as we're explaining, what's required that you have to have koyach gavra, it was you that did the shechita, and not that you have to have kavana to make a shechita. And that's why if you had intent to throw this knife at the wall, that would be considered a shechita that was done by human force, and you'll be chayif. The Sefer Eshkol, however, says that since shechita is mitzvah, it's certainly preferable to perform shechita with kavana to properly fulfill the mitzvah. When we're speaking about shechita that was done here without intent, but still a valid act of shechita, he says it's only b'di'evid. And the Magen Avraham says not only that it's that the halacha, when Avram says if somebody did shechita without kavana, then he can't make a bracha of ala shechita. You can only make the bracha of ala shechita when you had intention to do a shechita. The Mashal explains that since that shechita without kavana is valid, because we have a rule, stam behemah l'shchita oimed. An ordinary animal is meant to be slaughtered. So therefore, whenever the animal is severed without intent, we have to assume that it was done, it's automatically meant to be done for the sake of shchita. And therefore, says the Marshal, if somebody throws a knife, even if he did not intend to do a shchita, but a shchita happened, since he had explicitly kavana not to do a shchita, then the halach is, then that won't be a good shchita. It's the leniency that we're learning in our Gemara is only under the circumstances, says the Marshal, where there was no intent one way or the other. But if there was specifically intent not to do a shchita, says the Marshal, it wouldn't be valid. The Torah tells us that there's a din of Oysa es Benoi. We're going to spend time discussing this halacha later in the Masechta, that you're not allowed to kill an animal and its offspring on the same day. But if somebody did kill Oysa es Benoi on the same day, the halacha is allowed to eat both animals. Says the Marsh, based on this, asked the Zichron Yitzchak, did, based on this Mashal, that unintentional shchita is only acceptable when it was permitted to slaughter. But let's say somebody, the parent of an animal was slaughtered, and then there was an unintentional slaughter of the egg that later in the day. So why did we say, why did the Mashal say that the halacha is that the shchita, even without intent to do shchita, is acceptable? Because every animal, stam behema, l'shchita imedis. But here, this animal is not l'shchita imedis today, because its parent was killed today. So would the halacha be, interestingly, says the Zichron Yitzchak, then the shchita would not be a valid shchita. The Pesachim Tshuva disagrees, and he says when the Marshal uses the concept of stam behem l'shchita oimid, he doesn't mean to say that all ordinary animals are prepared for shchita at all times. That's not necessarily true. You have animals that there's no intention to slaughter. Particularly in their world, there were animals that were designated for work. In our world, there are animals that are designated for giving milk, for dairy. And therefore, says the Bishchei Tshuva, the definition of stam behem l'shchita medis is a general concept, but it doesn't speak to one specific animal or not. So we just learned that shchita doesn't have to have kavana. But ask the Gemara, we already know this halacha, the Tanan. We started the Masechta by teaching us, hakla shchoitim, everybody can shek v'shchitasa, k'shera, chutz mi'cher shchoitim v'katan, shemi kalkulun ha'shchitasim. But we continue teaching us, the kulon sheshachtu, all these people who the Mishnah told us should not shecht, but if they shecht, if achem roim nosoi, they were supervised, then shchitasa k'shera. V'aminan, and we explained, man tana, the loy boy kavana shchita, who is the tana that says that shchita without kavana is still a good shchita? Amar Rava Rav Nosson hi. So the Gemara's question is, this halacha that we're learning in our shiur today is already a halacha that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. So, of course, the question is, why is the Gemara asking this question now after the Gemara taught us what Oishdim and Ziri said? The Gemara should have right away asked that what is our Mishnah coming to teach us that we haven't already learned in the first Mishnah and the Masechta, and why would our Mishnah not be considered a redundancy? Says Rashi, that our Mishnah did not say explicitly that if somebody dropped a knife, so we have koyach gavra, it'll be a good shchita. Rav is the one that extrapolated that from the Mishnah. And that's not something that's obviously learned from the first Mishnah in the Masechta. Because by the Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan, they did a real act of shchita. They intended to cut and shech the animal. The only problem is that they are individuals who are not b'nei das, but that the knife drops by itself should be a good shchita, that we wouldn't have learned from the beginning of the Masechta. That's why the Mishnah was necessary. The question is, the halacha, that shchita doesn't need intent, that we already learned. Answers the Mar, no. tricha. Tiyashmin hasam, if we only had the first Mishnah, the Masechta by Chereshayt v'Katan, we would say that the reason, if they're supervised, it'll be a good shechita. Shem the kamacham l'shem chaticha b'aylam. They are interested in doing an act of cutting. Aval hachad alay kamachavin. Here, where there's no intention to do any act of cutting, they just threw a knife. Emaloy. V'yesh min hachi b'shem d'vachim kaybendas. Even though there was no intent to slaughter the animal, but the person who's doing whatever is being done is a person who's a baradas in our Mishnah. Aval hasam, in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, where a person who's doing it, is a person who's like Ka'asim Ka'akbandas, a cherish shaita v'katan, that's why Eimaloi, that's why Tzricha. So that's why we can't just rely on the first Mishnah, we can't just lie on the first Mishnah of the Masechta. Says the Gemara. We know that the halacha is that if a woman has dam, has a period, she becomes a nida. And afterwards, she goes to the mikvah. The halacha is, as long as she's a nida, she may not have relations with her husband, and she's considered tummy. And certainly, she's not allowed to touch truma and kachim, eat them or touch them. So says the Mar, itman nida, shenantse v'tavla. A woman who was a nida, but she went to the mikvah, or she was put into the mikvah, not with any intent. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Tahar Lebeisa. She went to the mikvah. And since she went to the mikvah, she could have relations with her husband. However, asur lech v'truma. She may not eat truma until she goes to the mikvah with the intent of going to the mikvah. The same halacha, says Taisus, would apply to Maisa Sheni. But the Mishnah discussed truma, which is more serious and was more relevant in generations more than Maisa Sheni. And therefore, asur lech v'truma. Yochanan afal beis latara, that if she didn't have any intent to go to the mikvah and she just ended up in the mikvah, it's not good enough. So it's difficult to understand. The halacha is that if a woman has relations with her husband while she's a nida, the punishment is karis. The different pshatim, what does that mean? Some say that it affects not just the person who did the avera, the children of that person as well, meaning that if he has that person who did that avera has children, they will die. And if he doesn't have children, he will not have children. There are other Rishonim that disagree and don't hold that every Kurus comes with that punishment. It's only when it says Kurus Ariri. But a regular Kurus does not necessarily affect the children. But still, they agree, those Rishonim, as the Gemara is teaching us, that Kurus is a more serious punishment than Misav Dei Shemayim. Because Kurus affects the person when he's 50 years old, and Misav Dei Shemayim is when they're 60. So the Gemara's question is most obvious. If for Kurus, going to the mikvah without any intent is enough to be considered good enough, so why isn't it not good enough for going? Why isn't that good enough for Tahara? So the Ramban explains is that this Machloikis is not connected, the big Machloikis Rishonim. He says that this Machloikis is not connected to the mitzvah, to the concept of mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. He says, because these mitzvahs that we're discussing in our Shir, Shechita, woman going to the mikvah, are not mitzvahs that we're doing to fulfill a mitzvah that we're obligated to do, but rather they're mitzvahs that are being done as a matir. Shechita is a matir to be able to eat the meat. A woman who's in need of going to the mikvah is a matir that she can now not be tummy anymore, that she can have relations with her husband. Other Rishonim disagree, and they want to suggest that the discussion in our Gemara is connected to the question of mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. Amalei, to which the Gemara answers, the husband is just it's not related to kachim, and therefore no intent is not a problem. Umna temra. And how do we know that if the tent is not related to kachim, to truma, that intent is not required? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechet Mikvaos teaches us: Gal shenitlash miayam. If you have a wave that comes off the sea, v'boy abam sa, and has that and has 40 sa in that wave, the otherwise, as we've learned numerous times, a mikvah without 40 sa is not considered a valid mikvah. For nafal al adam al kalim, and this water fell on a person on a kalim, the person they are tara with this tefillah. My love, adam domi the kalim. So says the Gemara that the person is like the keli. Now, obviously, when we have to make a keli tar, the keli doesn't have any intent. It's a keli. It's a vessel. Ma kalim deloy mechavni. But if they're in the right circumstances, that would be considered a valid tefillah. The kavana is not necessary. As Adam namile boy kavana, the loch is a person also doesn't have the kavana, says the Gemara. Who says that the case there is referring to a case where there was no kavana? Memai delma b'yoshi mitzapa skinen, that we're referring here to a situation where the person is anticipating, aim say yit shlagal, when the wave will come on him. B'kalim domi ba'adam, and the person has kalim that are tamei, and he's sitting here by the beach waiting for this wave to come on his kalim, and we'll say kalim dum yad adam. We treat the kalim like the adam, and we'll say ma adam to be in a kavana. The person has to have intent for the tefillah. Af kalim nami. The only reason the kalim are going to be considered a valid tefillah is the kamachavin lel adam. The person who owns these kalim is anticipating and intending that the mikveh water, this wave, should be matar his kalim. V'chi tema, if you say, if that's the case, where the person is sitting here waiting and anticipating that the water should come in him, then if that's the case, b'yosh mitzapa ma'ala memra. Then of course it should be a perfect mikveh. Madatame answers the Gemara. Madatame ligzum shum chardalis. If you'll have water, rainwater, the Mishnah Masechta Taharas teaches us, hanitzik vatavris en achibla tahara. Katavris means the water that rolled down on an incline. And that is not considered a valid mikvah, because since the water is rolling down on an incline, we don't have 40 saw in one place. And therefore, even if the person is waiting for this wave, but maybe since it's so similar to the chardalis, the katafris, that's not a valid tefillah, it should not be valid. Inami, or the other reason why we should disqualify this, even though he's anticipating and intending for this water, ligza roshim ought to keep him. What happens? The only time when there's this wave that comes over the person, it's a valid tefillah, is when the person is under the wave. But if he just gets hit with the water that's at the head of the wave, that's not going to be a valid tefillah. And therefore, if a person's using that for mikvah, for tahara, maybe we should say it's also because of this concern. Kamash malan deloy gezrinin. Says the Gemara, minot tamra, deloy matbilinin bekipa. And how do we know that that's not a valid tefillah? The Tanan Matpilim B'Roshin, we could use tefillah a wave. However, Rein Matpilim B'Kipin, Shem Matpilim B'Aver. They have to hit you when you're standing on the ground, not when it's on the top. Says the Gemara, so if that's the case, we go back to our original question. El Chulun Del Boy Kvah Minolon, how do we know that to go for tefillah, just for a woman to be able to have relations with her husband, as long as she was in the mikveh, it's good enough? The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Peris shenof lo teicha masa mayim. If Peris fell into water, or Pashat mish yod of Timaeus, we know that all Yadayim are Timaeus. Stam Yadayim are considered Tomei. And somebody with that type of hand touched out water, for Notlon, yod of Timaeus, his hands remain now become tar because he stuck his hand into a masa mayim. Paris and b'chiyutam. As we've discussed numerous times, that a fruit cannot become tamei unless it was mukshel kabel tuma. Mukshel kabel tuma means that liquid, the seven liquids, touch them. And you don't have to actually pour the water. As long as you are satisfied that they got wet, that's considered mukshel kabel tuma. Because the Torah says, v'chiyuta mayim azer v'nafim nasa alav tamei yulachem, yutan yitein. Whether you did it or you're satisfied. So you put your hands into this water, your hands are tar. Even though that wasn't your intention. You only want to take out the peiris. But the peiris are therefore not muksharim because you had no intention that those peiris should become mukshel kabel tuma. But continues that Mishnah teaches, im b'shvil shiduchu, if you did have a mind to wash your hands, so of course your hands are tar because you put your hand into the masamayim, and you actually had intention to make your hands wet. However, the peiris now b'chiyutan, because you wanted that to happen. And even if it wasn't your intention that the peiris should become wet, it was only intention that your hand should become wet. The Mishnah is teaching us that any positive intention is enough to make the peiris mukshel kabel tuma. Obviously, they can't become tamei while they're still in the water. So we see from here that the peiris are, that putting your hand into the water, even with no intention at all, is enough to which to be considered a valid tefillah. Eisei Rav Rav Nachman, if somebody went to the mikveh, the Mishnah Masechet Chagiga Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis teaches us, me that somebody taval lachulin, if somebody went to the mikveh because he wants to eat chulin while he's tar, for hochsek lachulin, and he's, we assume that he's tar, osla maisa. In other words, the Mishnah is teaching us that you have to have intention what for what type of tefillah you want to accomplish. Hechzakin, it's only when you had intention. Loi hechzak loi. So we see that you have to have intention. Says the Mar Hachikamer. Afa pisha hechzak lechulin, even if you had intention. Not to say, says the Gemara, that intention is necessary. Intention is actually not necessary. What the Gemara is teaching us is that even if you did have intention for chulin, it will not help you for maisa. Eisvei, another question. That Mishnah continues and says, k'tava v'loi huchsuk, if somebody went to the mikveh without any intention, is kilu loi tavo. It's considered as if he didn't go to the mikveh. My love, does that Mishnah not mean to say, kilu loi tavo klal, as if he didn't do any tefillah at all? Says tomorrow, no. Kilu loy tova l'maisa, for maisa going to the mikveh without intention is not an act of tefillah and you won't be able to eat maisa. But l'chulin, you don't have to have any intention. Who suffer? So Rava thought, the chuyu kamatchale, that he's asking questions and he's trying just to get him off from asking the questions, but that's not necessarily the halacha. But it says the Gemara Nafak Dak for Ashkach, the Tanya Tavav Lahuchsuk, if somebody went to the mikveh without any intention, Motel Chulin, Vasla Maisa. Amalei Baal Rav Yosef, says the Gemara, Leim Tav Tiyuf Rav Yochanan Mahar, the Braisa that we're learning here is contradicted to what Rav Yochanan said. Rav Yochanan said at Amal Aleph that the halacha is that even for a husband, a wife must have intent when she goes to the mikveh. Amalei, to which he said, indeed, it's a machloikas tanoim. And as we said at the beginning of the shir, Rabbi Yochanan is following the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan and Bei Yosef that says that intent is required. The Tanya, the pasuk speaks about a house that develops nige batim. And the halacha is, the kohen sees the nega, and he quarantines the house for 7 days. After 7 days, he comes back and inspects. If the nega did not spread, the halacha is that the kohen has to wash the spot to be able to determine after the second week what's going on. The pasuk says, "V'tziva kohen v'chipsu asher bo nega v'zgira shevus yom m'sheinis," after the second week, he comes back and he sees that the nega shrunk, was not there. Again, he has to wash the house. But it's very interesting. If you look in the Torah, in Targum, we'll see that the Targum Unclus, he doesn't use the same definition for kibbutz. One time, it says v'yischavrin. The first washing means v'yischavrin, to clean it. The second time, it says v'yitztaba, which means tefillah. Rabbi Yonason, what, it should just say you have to clean it. What does the Torah say? V'chubas sheinus v'toher. Which we said meant cleaning the nega was with intent. So here we see, you see that being toivel something requires das. Says the Gemara, the first washing had to be done through a kayin. As the Pasuk said, tziva kayin. Are we going to argue af kan binan das kayin? To teach us that it has to have tefillah, but mikamakim, any act of tefillah, not necessarily through a kohen. Maskala, Rav Simi Bar. So the Gemara is teaching us now, the Gemara comes out that for tefillah, you may not necessarily, it's a machloikus if you have to have kavana. The Shulchan Aruch discusses, what is the halacha if a woman is a nida, and she went to the mikvah shleim skavin? The halach is that it's a valid tefillah. But the Ramah says, this is in Shulchan Aruch Yerodei Simon Kuf Tzadiches Sif Mem Ches, Yesh Lahach Malipel Sheni, that if a person ended up in the mikvah, that's going to be valid, but without any intention, but she should go to the mikvah a second time. But of course, a brach is not meant on that. So from this we see that the halach is that for tefillah, intent is not necessary. This is most relevant to a question that we know when we buy kalim, kli suda, the halacha is you have to take them to the mikvah. You have to take them to the mikvah. Does it have to be done with intent? Does it have to be done by a Jewish person? The halacha is intent and even a Jewish person are not necessary. You have to make sure it was done. But if it was done by a shcher shayt v'katan, or a nakri, it's fine. Maskev simi brashi umiyam Rabbi Yochanan haki that chulin needs kavana the tefillah from Rabbi Yochanan lach stam mishnah. The lach always is like a stam mishnah. And our mishnah said nafl sak v'shocht api shocht gedak psula v'avinaba. And we started our shiur today by saying started the sugya by saying the tam the nafla because it fell by itself. Hoy pilahu if it fell by human intervention, kshera. Even though there was no kavana, v'amrinan, and we explained at the beginning of the Gemara, man tana d'loy bayi kavana l'shchita, who is the opinion that says you don't have to kavana, v'amarav rab nasan hi, that you don't have to hear kavana. Says the Gemara, don't we see that kavana is not needed from our Mishnah? How are you saying that kavana is needed? Answers the Gemara, v'shchita fil rab yonison by Yosef. Everybody would agree that by shchita, intent is not necessary. Why? Because midgal rachmanim mischas bekotchim posel. If we're learning by kotchim, that type of shchita is disqualified. What's the Torah trying with the words l'tzayim chemtes b'chur? What's the Torah trying to teach us that by kotchim, intent is necessary? Mechlal b'chur may be kavana. Rabbanan and the Rabbanan who explain that even by chulin, you have to have intent. The loy being kavana lezvicha. You don't have to have kavana to do a full-fledged shchita, but you have to have intention l'chaticha b'inan to cut the simonim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Hoza Kunu Rav Nosna Rabbanan. In this debate, this is the way Rav Nosna was able to prevail. If you're saying that or that you or have to have intention to cut the simonim, miksiv achatacht v'zvachtiksiv. Then the halacha should be a feel zvicha nami l'boy. V'loy being kavana l'zvicha l'chaticha nami l'boy. If intent is needed, it should be needed throughout, and if not, not. Heichadam in nida shenantz v'tavla. So we keep on speaking about a woman that went to the mikvah, but she without any intent. Ilema den sucha vert vet below. If we'll say speaking about a case where people pushed her into the mikvah, so then the halach is kavana, the chavert, the kavana ma'ayasahi. Even she didn't have kavana, but her friend's kavana could help for her. void, and that type of going to mikvah, truma nami achla, would be valid even that she should be able to eat truma. The Tanan, because the Mishnah Masechta Nida, Dafyud Gimel and Beis actually teaches us, hachareshiv ha-shaytiv ha-suman shenitfah data, somebody who is insane, im yeshna pichos, if they're women, adult, responsible women, sacknus a son, that prepare them and take them to the mikvah, oichlen son. Amra papa, the case here is, l'rem nosan, shenoflim in a gesher, she just fell off the bridge and fell into the water, or rabbonon, who have to have kavana, shiyada lahaker, that she went into the water. She knew she's going into the water, but her going into the water was not in the tent for tefillah. Her intent was just to go swimming or to cool off. And that's why it's going to be a good tefillah, even according to Rabbanan, under those circumstances.